As soon as the kitchen door slammed shut behind them, Sarah turned to the girls. Verity was pale but calm. Louisa was shaking and weeping softly. "Verity, you stay by the door and warn us if anyone tries to open it." She put one arm around Louisa. "Come, darling, be brave. This won't help George." Louisa straightened her shoulders and sniffed back her tears. "What do you want me to do?" "Help me." Sarah went across to the military chest that stood against the side wall. She rummaged in the bottom drawer and brought out a blue leather case. When she opened it, a pair of silver dueling pistols lay in their velvet-lined nests. "Tom taught me to shoot with these." She handed one to Louisa. "Help me load." Now that she had a task, Louisa pulled herself together quickly and loaded the weapon with swift, sure hands. Sarah had watched her at practice and knew that Jim had made her an expert shot. "Hide it in your bodice," Sarah ordered, and tucked the other pistol down the front of her nightclothes. She went back to the door and listened. "Have you heard anything?"
"The two Arab guards are talking," Verity whispered back.
"What are they saying?"
"There's been fighting at the bay. They are very worried. While they were on the road here, they heard the sound of a battle raging behind them, the heavy cannon fire and a number of explosions that they think were Zane's ships blowing up. They are discussing deserting my father and trying to make a run for it to the coast. They don't want to be abandoned here if Zane is defeated."
"So all is not lost, then. Tom and Dorian are still fighting."
"It sounds as if that is what's happening," Verity agreed. "Keep listening, Verity. I want to try the window."
Sarah left her at the door and placed a chair under the single high window. While Louisa held it steady, she climbed onto it. She lifted aside the edge of the kudu skin curtain that covered it and peered out.
"Can you see George?"
Louisa's voice shook.
"Yes. Guy has him. He looks frightened, but not badly hurt."
"Oh, my poor baby," Louisa sobbed.
"Now don't start that again," Sarah snapped.
To keep the minds of the two girls occupied, she began a commentary of all that she could see taking place outside.
"They are unloading the gold chests from the wagons and opening the lids. Guy's checking them."
She described how once the chests had been sealed and reloaded into the two wagons, the drivers brought in the ox teams and, under the scrutiny of Guy's henchmen, inspanned them.
"They are ready to leave," Sarah said with relief.
"Guy has all that he came for. Surely he must give George back to us now and leave us in peace."
"I don't think he will do that, aunt," Verity disagreed reluctantly. "I think we are his passport back to the coast. From what I overheard the guards saying, our men are still fighting. My father will know that as long as he has us women and Georgie as his hostages, they will be powerless to attack him."
Within minutes she was proved right. There was a tramp of feet outside the door, and it was thrown open. Five Arabs crowded through it, and one spoke harshly to Verity. She translated for the others.
"He says we must dress quickly in warmer clothes and be ready to leave at once."
They were led to their wagons, and the guards stood over them as they pulled on heavy coats over their nightdresses and hastily threw a few necessities into a valise. Then the three were led out to where horses had been saddled for them. Two wagons carrying the gold were drawn up, one behind another, pointed back along the track. Guy was at the head of his men.
"Let me take George from you," Sarah pleaded.
"Once long ago you played me for the fool, Sarah Beatty. It will not happen again. I shall keep your grandson firmly under my hand." He drew the dagger from the sheath on his belt and held the blade to George's throat. The child was too terrified to cry out. "You must not doubt for a minute that I shall slit his throat without compunction if you give me cause. If we meet Tom or Dorian or any of their vile brood on the road, you will tell them that. Now hold your tongue." They mounted the horses that Zama, Izezi, and Tegwani were holding for them. As Louisa settled on Trueheart's back, she leaned forward and whispered to Zama,
"Where are Intepi and her children?"
"I have sent them into the forest," he answered quietly. "No one tried to stop them."
"Thank God for that, at least."
Guy called out the order to advance, and Peters repeated it in a loud voice. The trek whips popped, and the wagons rolled forward. Guy led the convoy, with George carried awkwardly on his hip. The escort of Arabs forced the women to follow close behind him. They crowded them together so that their knees touched. The rumble of the wheels and the creak and rattle of equipment covered Sarah's voice as she whispered to the girls, "Have you the pistol ready, Louisa?"
"Yes, mother. I have my hand on't."
"Good. Then this is what we must do." She went on speaking softly, and the two girls murmured acknowledgement.
"Wait for my word," Sarah warned them. "Our only chance is to take them by surprise. We must act in concert to have any chance of success."
The cavalcade wound down the hills towards the littoral. The horses were constrained to the speed of the plodding oxen. After a while, nobody spoke. Captors and prisoners rode in a lethargic silence, which slowly became torpor. George had long ago sunk into an exhausted sleep. His head lolled on Guy's shoulder. Every time Sarah looked at him, her heart squeezed with dread. Every once in a while she would reach across and touch one of the girls to keep them awake and alert. She had been studying the horses that the Arab captors rode. They were thin and in poor condition, and she guessed they had endured a long, debilitating voyage in small ships. They would be no match for the mounts that she and the girls rode. Of their three horses, Trueheart was the swiftest. Louisa was a lightweight to carry, and she and Trueheart would run away from any of them, even if she was carrying George with her. The Arab riding next to Sarah let his head drop forward on his chest. He started to slide sideways out of the saddle. Sarah knew that he had fallen asleep. Before he toppled from his horse's back, the man's head flew up as he woke with a start. "They're all exhausted," Sarah told herself. "They've had no rest since they left the coast. Their horses are in no better case. It's nearly time for us to break away and make a run for it." In the moonlight, she recognized this section of the road. They were approaching a ford over one of the tributaries of the main river. On the outward journey up from Fort Auspice, Zama and his men had spent days digging out the banks. It was a narrow and steep crossing that the wagons could only negotiate with difficulty. She knew that they would not find a better place at which to make the break. She estimated that there was still an hour of darkness to cover their escape, and by that time she hoped that they would be clear of the weakened, exhausted horses of their pursuers. She reached stealthily across to each of the girls in turn. She squeezed their hands and shook them lightly to alert them. The three pressed their mounts gently and moved up together until they were riding within touching distance of the rump of Guy's horse. Sarah reached under her coat and slipped the dueling pistol out of her bodice. She used the folds of her sheepskin coat to muffle the click as she drew back the hammer to half-cock. The trigger of the weapon was set very lightly, and she dared not cock it fully until the moment of firing. 50 yards ahead, she saw the gap in the river bank appear out of the darkness, with the road running down to it. She waited until Guy reined in his horse as he studied the cutting that led down to the ford. Before Guy could call out, Sarah deliberately rode into his horse. The girls on each side of her pressed forward, and for a moment there was confusion as the horses bumped into each other and milled about. "Keep your damned horses under control," Guy exclaimed with annoyance. Then another voice roared from the darkness of the cutting just ahead. "Stand where you are. I have 50 muskets loaded with goose shot trained on you."
"Tom!" Sarah exulted. "It's Tom!"
Of course, he had heard the wagons from a mile off, and he would choose the river crossing to ambush them.
"Tom Courtney," Guy shouted back, "I have your grandson and my dagger to his throat. My men have your wife, Sarah, and the other women of your family. Stand aside and let us pass if you want any of them alive."
To reinforce the threat, he lifted George off his shoulder and held him up with both hands.
"It's your grandfather, child. Speak to him. Tell him you are safe."
He pricked George's arm with the dagger. From behind Guy's shoulder, Sarah saw the blood start on the white skin, black and shiny in the moonlight.
"Grandpa!" George shrieked at the top of his lungs. "This is a horrid man hurting me."
"By God, Guy, you touch a hair of that child's head, and I'll kill you with my bare hands."
Tom's voice rang out with angry frustration.
"Hear the piglet squeal," Guy shouted back, and pricked George again. "Throw down your weapons and show yourselves, or I will send you your grandson's guts on a silver tray." Sarah drew the pistol from under her coat and cocked the hammer. She reached forward and pressed the muzzle into the small of Guy's back at the level of the kidneys. She fired, and the shot was muffled by Guy's clothing and flesh. Guy's back arched in his agony as the ball shattered his vertebra. He loosened his grip, and George fell out of his raised hands.
"Now, Louisa!" Sarah screamed.
But Louisa did not need the order. She leaned out of the saddle and caught George as he fell. She clasped him to her bosom and kicked her heels into Trueheart's ribs.
"Ha-ha!"
she shouted to the mare.
"Run, Trueheart, run!"
Trueheart jumped forward. One of the Arabs reached out to seize her, but Louisa fired the second pistol into his bearded face, and he fell backwards out of the saddle. Verity turned her horse in behind Trueheart to screen George and his mother from any musket bullets fired by the escort. She was only just quick enough. One of the Arabs, more alert than his companions, threw up his jezail, and the long flame of the discharge ripped through the darkness. Sarah heard the ball strike flesh. Verity's horse collapsed under her, and she was thrown forward over its head. Sarah spurred forward just as Guy toppled backwards and fell limply from the saddle into her path. Her horse tried to jump over him, but one of the metal-shod hooves struck Guy's temple, and she heard the brittle bone break like ice. Her horse recovered its balance, and Sarah steered it towards where Verity was struggling to her feet.
"I'm coming, Verity,"
Sarah called to her, and made an arm for her. Verity hooked hers through Sarah's as the horse swept past her. Neither of them had the strength to swing Verity up astride, but she managed to throw her free arm over the horse's withers and cling on desperately as they followed Trueheart down into the river ford.
"Tom!" Sarah yelled. "It's us! Don't shoot!"
The rest of the Arab escort had recovered their wits and were galloping after Sarah in a tight band. Suddenly a volley of musket fire erupted from the edge of the bank where Smallboy and the rest of Tom's men were lying. Three horses went down in a tangle, and the rest of the Arabs reined in and turned back. They raced for the shelter of the wagons and huddled behind them. Tom jumped down from the bank, and as Sarah reined in, he seized her and Verity and dragged them down. He pulled them into safety behind the bank.
"Louisa!" Sarah gasped. "Catch Louisa and George!"
No one can catch Trueheart when she has the bit between her teeth, but they're safe out there as long as we keep the Arabs pinned down here, Tom embraced Sarah.
"By God, I'm pleased to see you, woman!"
Sarah pushed him away. "There'll be plenty of time for that nonsense later, Tom Courtney. You still have work to do here."
"Right you up."
Tom ran back to the top of the bank and called to the dark wagons behind which the Arabs were sheltering.
"Guy, do you hear me?"
"He's dead, Tom," Sarah interrupted him. "I shot him."
"Then you beat me to it," Tom said grimly.
"I was looking forward to it myself." He realized that Verity was standing beside him.
"I'm sorry, my dear. He was your father."
"If I had had a pistol in my hand, I would have done it myself," Verity said calmly. "What he has done to me over the years is of no account. But when he started torturing Georgie... No, Uncle Tom, he deserved that and more."
"You're a brave girl, Verity."
He hugged her spontaneously.
"We Courtneys are made of rawhide," she said, and hugged him back.
Tom chuckled and released her.
"Now, if you call those blackguards out from behind the wagons, I'd be much obliged. You can tell them that we will not harm them, and they will have free passage back to the coast as long as they abandon the wagons. Tell them I have 100 men with me, which is a lie. If they don't surrender, we will attack and wipe them out to the man."
Verity called the message across to them in Arabic. There was a delay while they discussed what she had said. She could hear their heated voices, and she caught some of the words. Some were arguing that the Effendi was dead, and there was no reason to remain here. Others were talking about the amount of gold and what Zayn al-Din would do when he learned that they had lost it. One loud voice reminded them of the sounds of battle they had heard coming from the bay. "Perhaps Zayn al-Din is dead also," the speaker said. Guy Courtney's body was still lying where it had fallen, and the dawn light was strengthening so that Verity could see her father's dead face. Despite her brave words, she had to turn away her eyes. At last, one of the Arabs called back their reply. "Let us go in peace, and we will hand over our weapons and surrender the wagons."